Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Dhanvarsha Finvest Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Dhanvarsha Finvest Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2022. Before we begin, I'd like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have with us Mr. Rohanji Juneja, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Karan Desai, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Sanjay Kukreja, Chief Financial Officer. Without much delay, I request Mr. Rohanji Juneja to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Rohan.
Thank you, Anuj. It was an interesting quarter, to say the least. Despite the lockdown in April and May, Dhanvarsha completed its capital raise of 658 million rupees in April and clocked its highest disbursement quarter, with two-thirds of it being led by gold and small business loans backed by a first loss default guarantee. April and May saw slower disbursement volume of 99 million and 94 million respectively, while June came in at a strong 241 million, translating to 434 million for the quarter, Dhanvarsha's best ever and up from 48 million a year ago. We opened eight experiential centers in June, anchored around our gold loan product, taking the total count to 24, and had over 163 financial inclusion stores at the end of June. The company also issued its first covered bond backed by gold receivables in the quarter, which was rated A by CARE and subscribed to by over 1,000 retail investors. Profit before tax was 17.5 million rupees versus 6.9 million in March 2021 and 6.4 million in June 2020. This represents 154% quarter-over-quarter and 174% year-over-year growth, driven by strong revenue growth of 157%. Strength in revenues comes from 286% growth in interest income as disbursements rose from 48 million in June 2020 to 405 million in March 2021 and 434 million in June 2021. Very happy to disclose that we have had our strongest month of disbursement in July at 413 million, which is almost equal to what we've done in all of June quarter. 63% of this came from gold loans and 18% from loans backed by an FLDG. These FLDG partners are thoroughly vetted by our credit committee and have deep expertise in technology and inherent sourcing strength in business and education loans. The first loss default guarantee provided to Dhanvarsha ranges from 10%-100%. We are doing business with 11 such partners today and will be live with another three partners by the end of September. At present, 16% of our loan book is backed by an FLDG, and we expect that to go up to 20%-22% in the future. The loan book at June end was 1.31 billion rupees versus 1.04 billion in March and 415 million a year ago. This represents 212% year-over-year growth, while our borrower count was up by 2,354% to 10,995 customers, up from 448 in June 2020. The average ticket size of loans declined by 31% to 0.12 million in the quarter. This shows the granular nature of the loan book and is truly demonstrative of the micro, small, medium enterprise borrowers we are serving. Gold loans today comprise 32% of the loan book, and in a significant development, we have recently tied up with Central Bank of India for a large 10 billion rupee co-lending partnership where they will hold 80% of loans on their balance sheet while we will retain 20%. This is a win-win for both entities and a substantial development for Dhanvarsha as it promotes scale with capital efficiency for our balance sheet. Many of you will want to know how. There is a predetermined 10% hurdle rate that Central Bank of India gets on every loan for its 80% lending share. Dhanvarsha gets to keep everything in excess of the 10% hurdle rate on Central Bank of India's 80% contribution for Dhanvarsha originating, servicing and collecting on these loans, while we also retain 100% of the economics on our 20% lending share. For Central Bank of India as well, this is a win-win since 10% is much higher than the cost of deposits and market borrowing with no cost of origination and servicing incurred by them. On the distribution side, Dhanvarsha today has 28 experiential centers anchored around our gold loan product, and by September end, we expect to have 34 such centers that will be contributing to daily disbursement volume. We have 305 financial inclusion stores today versus 163 in June and expect to have close to 475 by end September. As mentioned in our previous call, this is a zero capex distribution channel for Dhanvarsha, which further enhances our sourcing strength to MSMEs. On the lending side of our balance sheet, our net worth is up to 1.59 billion and the promoter group along with key management will be infusing another 150 million in the next 12 to 18 weeks for conversion of warrants into equity shares that were issued in November 2020. This is well ahead of the 18-month timeline that we have to infuse money, which is until May 2022. Our debt-to-equity ratio today is 0.7x, and we aim to continue disbursing at the same pace of 400 million per month as we have done in July. While we are still a young organization and in robust build-out mode, which involves both CapEx and OpEx, profit growth takes center stage with a tight lid on expenses. Management is deeply incentivized with ESOP, making them owners in Dhanvarsha. In fiscal 21, the company incurred large expenses for the build-out of experiential centers and also our digital lending platform catering to MSMEs. Part of these investments are starting to bear fruit with our cost to income declining to 61.5% from 76% in March 2021 and June 2020. On the pertinent topic of risk and impact of the lockdown on our portfolio, the percentage of loans to the essential goods segment, which comprises of health, wellness, technology, convenience and medical stores, food and drink, etc., is about 40% of the portfolio. Gold loans are 32% and loans backed by FLDG are 16%. With our relentless effort on collections, we have been able to report 100 plus percent collection efficiency, including prepayment, part payment and early repayment on gold loans. Excluding part repayments and early repayments on gold loans, collection efficiency was just shy of 90%, which we are confident of taking to 90% in August and September. Gross NPAs were 2.87% versus 4.83% in the previous years. Net NPAs were 89 basis points versus 2.23% last year. It is noteworthy that in our gross NPA pool of 37.3 million rupees, 30.4 million or 81% come specifically from 7 LAP loans originated from September 2017 until September 2018. These loans are now in runoff mode, and excluding these LAP loans, gross NPAs would have been 69 basis points. We are making all efforts to recover on these 7 legacy loans that are part of the NPA bucket. With Dhanvarsha now being eligible for SARFAESI, we are confident of a quicker turnaround on some of these loans. Let me now turn the call over to Karan to walk you through our tech plans and go-to-market strategy.
Thank you, Rohan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On the previous call, we had spelled out certain material projects that the company has invested in to meet our vision of digitally enhancing the scale of financial inclusion in India. It is noteworthy that from our inception until today, our tech platform has clocked in over 375,000 digital applications. As we now gear up to add substantially higher volume and enhance our digital footprint, a Big Four firm has in the last few months advised us on a comprehensive technology stack and architecture. Let us now walk you through our plans and our go-to-market strategy on the digital front. Number one being Dhanvarsha is all set to launch MoneyRabbit, which is our digital omni-channel credit health builder digital lending platform, which will be powered by our very own alternate data engine, focusing on the MSME segment and the blue-collar workforce. This is due to launch in early November 2021. The platform is being specifically designed to cater and add value to the lower middle-income population, wherein they get access to customized cards that can be used with a flexible wallet and a bill payment system, along with an affordable credit line available on the go. Our alternate engine captures real-time data, which is self-evolving, robust, and developed completely in-house by our passionate technology, data science, and risk analytics team. This engine, post getting access to data, captures accurate insights about consumer behavior, giving us an edge over bureau data, which is slightly dated. Hence, using an alternate data engine to analyze and price loans for consumers is predictive and proactive, as opposed to be reactive. Credit will now be affordable and not at the typical payday rates as offered by a number of competing digital lending platforms. Along with lending and a wallet, the platform will also include a credit health check tool. The biggest advantage of this service, along with other modules, is to provide an entire ecosystem for the consumer's credit health and financial wellness, along with the ability to borrow, pay, save, and invest all in one app. MoneyRabbit will empower our consumers with multiple cashbacks and rewards, which will be featured and marketed systematically to increase the daily app usage and retention rates. This will be linked to their repayment behavior and discipline, and hence will become a self-fulfilling cycle in due course of time. The second big technology asset that Dhanvarsha is currently working on is an MSME and blue-collar focused neo-banking platform. While we are in the business of providing loans to these small customers, it is imperative that we look at serving this customer base with financially inclusive experiences, which do not start and end simply with lending. The main objective of Dhanvarsha Neobank is to offer such a level of seamless consumer experience that most traditional banks cannot offer at this point in time. Hence, our Neobank will be a fintech partner of a traditional bank and will provide core banking services to the underbanked segment of the population. In this type of partnership and engagement, we as a fintech company will utilize a wrapper around various products and services of our partner bank and cater to these small MSME and blue-collar customers. We will be obsessively customer-oriented to provide highly customized and personalized services to them. Our loan products will be seamlessly available through the same platform. We have already launched Dhanvarsha.co in the previous quarter, which is a digitally empowered loan sourcing platform which enables us to onboard and cater to customers with minimal manual interventions. We are happy to share that Dhanvarsha.co has already started contributing to the monthly disbursement volume of the company with a very low cost of customer acquisition. Last but not the least, we are also deploying a cutting-edge, fully integrated loan origination and management system to enable seamless onboarding, underwriting, servicing, monitoring, and on-time collections, given the large volume of business that the company proposes to underwrite over the next 5 years. The phase one of this project is expected to go live in early September. We highly recommend visiting our website and surfing through the lending hand, head, and heart section to watch videos on our digital and financial inclusion journey. It truly embodies what we are building in Dhanvarsha. With this, I will hand it back to Rohan for closing comments. Thank you.
We would like to conclude by saying that as we scale up from being a small business into an institution, the company will very soon be onboarding a seasoned veteran with over 20 years experience in three large financial services institutions as Chief Operating Officer of Dhanvarsha. Furthermore, we have also had the privilege of Mr. Porter Collins joining Dhanvarsha's Board of Directors from July 31st. As many of you may know, Mr. Collins is a globally renowned investor with over 22 years experience investing in global financials. Mr. Collins and his fund were famously featured in the book and the movie The Big Short for accurately predicting the U.S. housing crisis and the ensuing global crisis of 2007-2008. With this, Dhanvarsha's board today comprises of five independent directors, one promoter director, one non-executive director, and two executive directors. These efforts will go a long way as Dhanvarsha continues on its journey of creating a scalable and comprehensive financial services institution catering towards MSMEs in India. With this, we'll open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Amit Kapoor from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, sir.
Okay, hi. Thanks a lot for taking my question. First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. My question is regarding the gold loan portfolio. What we have seen is that some of your competitors are seeing some increase in auctions, and there is some kind of pressure building up on that book. Also, we understand that banks are really aggressive in that segment now. What are you guys seeing, and how different it is from what others are seeing?
Sure, Amit. Thank you for the question. So I think what we essentially do differently with our gold loan business is that we are fairly conservative with the way we value the jewelry, so we do not take very aggressive LTV calls. Secondly, the LTV that we peg is also on the value of the jewelry minus the making charges. So a natural margin and cushion is built into the overall LTV from that standpoint. Apart from that, every branch has two valuers in each location, so that any piece of jewelry, whether it is for a 70,000 rupee loan or for a 5 lakh rupee loan, is always valued twice, minimizing the chances of error. And any loan that is above 5 lakhs, which is anyway a minuscule percentage of our portfolio currently, is valued a third time with an external empaneled valuer as well. So we have double and triple checks and balances to make sure that we do not go wrong on this front. And last but not the least, we do a mark-to-market every day on the portfolio that we have. So from that standpoint, we are fairly confident that we will not face the challenges that some of our competitors who have taken more aggressive calls are currently seeing.
Just a follow-up. I'm not sure if I saw this in the presentation, but have you disclosed any kind of auctions that you would have done on the gold portfolio, or you have not done none?
So far, we've done only three small auctions, which was, I think, total loan value of sub 10 lakhs on a 50 crore plus portfolio in the June quarter. So there were only three pieces of jewelry that were auctioned. In all cases, we recovered more than what was due on the loan account, and the balance was refunded to the customer.
Okay, thanks, sir. Just one more question I have. You guys have really seen a good improvement in your asset quality, and you deal with really low ticket, small SME kind of borrowers. Just want to understand, because I thought that June quarter was really bad for India as far as the second wave is concerned, and you guys are located more in Maharashtra, which was very badly impacted. How did you guys manage that? I'm just trying to understand as in how the asset quality has seen such a strong improvement, given that the condition on the ground were not that great.
Sure, Amit. So there are two or three things that relate to the improvement in asset quality. One is most of the asset quality that Dhanvarsha has experienced comes out of the LAP vintage loans, which were underwritten between September 2017 and September 2018. The book growth had slowed down post September 2018 until December 2019, which placed the company in very good stead today. That's number one. Number two, most of our growth that came in post December 2019 as well came in the smaller ticket essential goods segment, which includes chemists, kirana stores, cloth traders, shoe retailers, anyone who depends on daily cash flow generating businesses for their livelihood. That's number two. And number three, a lot of these businesses were opened during the lockdown as well. And most of our growth from March 2020 has come from the gold loan product and with partners who do give us an FLDG. So with these FLDG partners, which is about 16% of our book today, we do have a clause where they will buy back loans if there are 75 days DPD. And if they do not buy back those loans, then the FLDG gets invoked on. Very pleased to say that until today, we have not invoked on one FLDG in 14 months of doing this business. So a combination of these three factors have led to an improvement in asset quality.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Rohan. That was really helpful. Just one more thing. So how much...
आपण ज्या व्यक्तीसोबत बोलत आहात, त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल हो...
Hello.
Sorry, Amit. Can you repeat your question?
Yeah, yes. Thanks a lot for that. I just want to check. So how much of the legacy book of the LAP is still remaining or it's already totally run down?
Oh, so it's not totally run down. Today, we have about 18% of the outstanding loans today is still in LAP. And the total POS is about 27 crores.
And do you have a like a view as to by when you want to run it down, or you don't want, or you will just want to maintain it at a certain percentage of the loan book, or you have a clear path of running it down completely?
So what we are doing with the LAP book right now, Amit, is that as and when possible, at least with the regular accounts, as they approach us for balance transfers out at lower rates, we encourage them to do so, and we facilitate that mobility. As far as delinquent customers are concerned, given that we have collections in-house completely, we are working on a war footing to make sure that either we assist them in liquidation of the property and repayment of the loan, or you know, regularization of the account in whatever shape or form is possible. So over the last few quarters, we have gotten a number of such delinquent accounts out of our book by adopting these two strategies.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amit.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Irshan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
You're not very audible. If you could just speak up a little bit.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
No,
slightly
sir.
Better. Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
We lost you again.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Much better, yes.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I see that, you know, we are expanding our branch network very fast. So can you just talk about, you know, how much is the capex on each branch and what are we budgeting by the end of this financial year?
Right. So currently we are expanding in two ways. One is, of course, the gold branches, which we are opening 4 to 5 a month. The current capex per unit is about 12 odd lakhs, and that essentially comprises of the vault, the security systems, cameras, etc., your modular furniture and IT. The civil work is fairly simple, but what we try and do is, rather than building it like any typical competitor's branch, we prefer calling them experiential centers, where the look, the feel, and the services that we offer the customer are at least 3 or 4 notches above what all our competitors are doing. So from that standpoint, we would encourage you to actually visit one of our branches to get a feel for yourself. As far as expected run rate is concerned, over the next 6 to 7 months, we will continue growing that at a run rate of at least 5-6 units a month on average. And apart from this, we are also increasing our footprint with the Dhanvarsha Financial Inclusion stores. But these are a zero capex business, wherein what we do is we empanel small retail stores as franchisees of the brand. We put up our own signage, empower them with standees and other tech platforms, so that they can start becoming sourcing partners for us in this journey. So we already 300 plus such partners in the state of Maharashtra. we will now be expanding into the MP market as well. So from that standpoint, the visible physical footprint of the brand will increase exponentially till March 2022.
Okay, thank you, sir. And what kind of growth in AUM are we expecting from this expansion?
So we've said, like we said on the previous call as well, we hope to finish the year closer to a 370 crore AUM number.
Okay. If I can squeeze in one more question, sir.
Please.
So what percentage of our loans originate from the channel partners versus our internal team, sir?
So channel partners have started contributing to business volume now. That will pick up slowly. The large chunk of the business volume that comes in today, especially from the branch network, is all internally led.
Okay, thank you. That is from my answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Praful Kumar from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, Praful.
Yeah, I have two, three questions. One, in terms of broad strategy over the next 2 to 3 years, in terms of scaling up the business, once you say that, you know, close the book by at 370 this year, maybe 500 next year. In terms of liabilities, you are, you know, extremely good on debt equity today. You don't have leverage. But over a medium term, how you intend to build the liability side of the business? That is the first question. Secondly, on terms of technology now, you alluded yourself as a fintech firm, but adding more branches to grow business, especially gold loans. So in terms of tech, what is the role of tech that goes into the firm for over the next 2-3 years as you scale up? These are the two broad questions.
Thanks, Rahul. So on the liability side, we have a very comfortable leverage ratio today at 0.7x. We're highly capitalized with the capital adequacy ratio of 94%. The pace at which we are disbursing on a monthly basis now, we expect that to continue. And our goal is to always be below a 3x leverage. So when we go closer towards 2-2.5x, we will then explore options as to what we need to do from a debt to equity standpoint. But the goal is to be always overcapitalized until we reach a certain size at least. In terms of debt, we have 11 lenders on board today, including the likes of HDFC, SBI, Bank of India, Central Bank of India, NABARD, two foreign lenders that have given us an NCD. Our goal is to continue expanding those relationships and to continue growing in the true MSME sweet spot, which is with an average ticket size of between 1 to 5 lakhs. So that is where we would be on the liability and asset side. On the tech, I'll hand it over to Karan.
Yeah, Praful. So on the technology side, we prefer calling ourselves a very strong tech-enabled company, and our physical infrastructure, which includes the branch network, gives us a significant edge in terms of controlling the cost of customer acquisition. Today, most of the fintechs that you will see, they burn a considerable amount of money trying to acquire customers. So, you know, the thought process even behind launching the Dhanvarsha Neobank essentially was, if we have over 100 branches of our own in the next 8 to 10 months, and hundreds and hundreds of these small franchisee partners who are already doing business with us, for us to be able to acquire customers, not just for the savings or the current account product, but even for the liabilities franchise, which includes the loans, whether it is a personal loan, business loan, or a gold loan, becomes substantially easier because of our reach on the ground. Secondly, even in the traditional gold loan business, for example, nobody has ever leveraged technology at the branch level to improve the customer experience. So we are doing two things essentially. One is, of course, to improve the experience on-site, which we already do through state-of-the-art branches. But now we are working on how we can enhance the experience by reducing a 30-minute disbursement time to a 15 to 20-minute disbursement time by allowing the customer to complete simple things like KYC, sending pictures of the jewelry, etc., through the technology platform itself before he actually comes in with the physical jewelry for final valuation and disbursement. So, you know, we are not trying to compete with the core fintech companies in the market today, but rather to build on top of our traditional business and leverage technology to make the customer experience better and a lot more sustainable and manage risk that way as well.
Prabhu, just adding to your first question a little bit more on the liability side, I think one of the things that Dhanvarsha has done really well is we've been fairly patient before taking out external capital. So we took out external capital in the month of Jan 2020 from HDFC, who came in as our first lender. We were fairly patient in waiting for getting the right capital at the right price. We could have gone out and taken money at much more expensive rates from NBFCs, which we refrained from doing. So the goal is to continue making inroads with large lenders who see the inherent strength in our sourcing platform and provide us capital at a rate where it makes sense for us to lend to our customers. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, the goal for us is to lend to our MSME customers also at an affordable rate where the journey is fairly good. And we will continue trying to penetrate with large lenders, especially with the PSU banks, to get longer duration and cheaper paper.
Well, that's comprehensive. One last, if I may. You guys have been, an experienced lot in India in terms of growing businesses, but the challenge here becomes the collection. So can you talk about your collection engine as you scale up today? How are you experiencing? Is it in-house? It is outsourced? Can you talk about your collection engine today and how it grows up with the business, scales up?
Sure. So collections is actually one of the cornerstones of the company. And, from a very small size, when we were even sub 50 crores in size, we started building the entire team in-house. So the function today is led by a gentleman called Mr. Sunil Ranpara, who's a very experienced person in this field. He comes with experience across institutions like Kotak Mahindra Bank, HDFC Bank, and lastly with Capital First before it merged into IDFC. So he is a lawyer himself by background, and under him we have a team of feet on street collectors and a team of lawyers in-house as well. So we use a combination of not just feet on street follow-ups with our customers, but even the legal tool extremely successfully to collect from these small customers, whether it is the larger ticket erstwhile loan against property customers or the smaller ticket BL and PL clients. Gold is a fairly easy function to collect in because it is managed at a branch level. The security is extremely liquid, and there are very rare occasions, like I mentioned some time ago as well, where we've had to auction only 3 pieces of jewelry, which was sub 10 lakhs in value, on a loan book of over 50 crores today with 3,000 plus customers. So on the gold side, we are fairly well covered. And the last part of our business, which has been growing quickly since last year as well, which is the FLDG-backed business, where the entire onus of collections is on our partners. We sit on a cash-funded guarantee from them. So today, the collections effort internally is largely focused on the PL and BL loans that we do on a monthly basis directly in our balance sheet. And of course, as far as gold is concerned, it happens at a branch level. So collections is monitored centrally on a daily basis. And, we are fairly proud to say that even during extremely difficult times of second wave of COVID, we still operated at 85% plus efficiency if you discount the foreclosures, part payments and repayments. So we do not believe in outsourcing our collections, and as the new system rolls out, we will also be integrating a collections technology stack into it to ensure that, whether it's dashboard, sending out of legal notices, et cetera, all of that is done digitally and we can manage scale much better.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Irshan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So if you can just, speak something about the unit economics of a branch. What are the current unit economics, like what is average disbursement and average operating expenses?
Sure. So if you talk about a typical gold loan branch, the average run rate today works out to be about 40 to 50 lakhs a month. Each branch normally breaks even at a branch level once it crosses about 2.25 crores of AUM. This branch, once it hits an AUM of 4 crores, also starts to cover the cost of the supervisory team that sits in the HO. So a typical branch payback, including the cost of your supervisory team, should be about 12 months on the outside. This will be in your metros. Of course, once you go into the tier 2 cities, that 12 months becomes about 15 to 18 months because the rate of disbursement there will be slightly slower as compared to metros like Bombay, Noida, so on and so forth.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohanjit Juneja from Dhanvarsha Finvest for closing comments.
Thank you, Faizan. In conclusion, we would like to say while we are very proud of the business that we've built so far, having survived the September 2018 crisis and having successfully survived the two lockdowns from COVID, we are very excited about the next leg of growth for us, which will come from the Money Rabbit platform and from Dhanvarsha Neobank. We'll have a lot more to say about these two platforms on our next call when they will be live. So eagerly awaiting to talk to you all more about that. Thank you all for joining the call and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dhanvarsha Finvest Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.